Connie, taking my question.
No, 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 no. It's none of her business. The DG is here. You can't speak unless you see the DG. Hey, you don't, you undermine the chairperson. What are we, Rams?
I'm just finding my notes quickly. Someone can go ahead of me.
Do you want us to sing in the meantime?
Okay, I found it, I found it. So chairperson, through you. I just want to make a general note, and then there's just, I think, three or four factors that I'll be, and when I refer to the pages, I'm referring to the pages in the actual thick book, the actual annual report. So throughout the document, there's draft bills, plans, and policies that have supposed to have been submitted for cabinet approval. I would like to know when, what's the timeline that cabinet has given you, because this is even a general note from the last annual report that things are submitted to cabinet, and it's an ongoing thing that no policies and documents are coming from cabinet. Another point, I would like some more information on a launch date of this establishment of the single national social security fund and how it differs to what we currently have. Then we speak a lot about impact versus outcome. And on page 10 and 57 in the annual report, we speak about social and behavioral change, particularly in young people, to reduce risky sexual behavior when it comes to HIV, contacting HIV and AIDS. And there's one, I think, gap that's in that section, the department should focus on, and that is also HIV and AIDS, contacting it via unsterilized needles and the shedding of needles. And there's a gap in that because we're only focusing on sexual behavior in youth, etc., but we're not focusing on the at-risk group, such as sex workers, when it comes to the shedding of dirty needles and so forth. And then also, how are these groups of youth being measured throughout a long term to make sure that the programs are having impact, these sexual and behavioral programs are actually having impact? Are these youth traced over a year, over 2 years, that they actually haven't fallen pregnant or they haven't contracted the infection? You know, are these programs working? Especially when it also speaks to the YOLO program and the 100 workshops that the country had, and the fact that it reached 150,490 young people. Has these once-off workshops, are they impact in these young people's lives? And also, we spoke about, the report speaks about the youth camps, and we spent just under 500,000 on what is quoted a 70-day work by 18 persons for youth camps. And the point of the youth camps and the programs are to ensure that youth are become employable. How many of these youth are in fact employed? You know, we have all these youth programs, but how many of the youth actually are seeking employment, and are these youth that attend the youth camp, are they being watched and measured to make to see that these camps and these programs, the YOLO programs, all have impact? So that's the one. Then also on page 11 and page 98 all the way through to 102 of the annual report, in terms of the social work graduates. So the purpose of the conditional grant, and I quote, is to reduce the national backlog of unemployed social work graduates through the appointment by provincial departments of social development. However, when looking at these pages, 8 of the provinces are using these grants to maintain existing social workers. They did not appoint any new social workers. Therefore, how can this be contributing to the reduction in the current amount of unemployed social workers? The only province that has permanently employed social work graduates, the total number of 13, was the Western Cape. So therefore, what is the grant meant to be used for is actually not being used for by many of the provinces. I would also like to find out that the annual report does not make reference to any of the referral pathways that these increased numbers of GBV clients via the call centres, the please call me, the SMS services that are coming through. Also, there's no mention of any additional support to expand and capacitate NGOs working in the GBV sector since the commencement of this call centre and the obvious increase of clients that are coming through. So I'd like to know more about the referral pathway and also how many of these figures that we were given, the 120,707 calls received, how many of those clients actually have been successfully referred to the NGOs and are taking up support when it comes to gender-based violence. Also on page 66 in the annual report, can the department commit to a deadline as to when the South African Integrated Program of Action will be submitted to Cabinet? Page 14 in the annual report, they speak about 100 million savings when it comes to child support grant. And now there's no shortage of children in South Africa who need food. It's basically savings for me in the sector of the child support grant is actually food out of children's mouths. And I wanted to ask, if the savings continue, are we then not doing our job in getting the grant to the child, and therefore can the department not consider registering pregnant mothers who are in need of a child support grant when their child arrives during their first 1,000 days so they can have the immediate access to nappies, to formula, or to food for their pregnant mother in terms of breastfeeding. So I'm in a saving in the child support grant on page 14. I'm not too sure why there's a saving there when there technically shouldn't be. I can skip that. I'd also like to find out on page 18, page 57, and then there's more info on page 107. In terms of the community care centres that have been funded by the German Bank, how come there's only 3 out of the 9 provinces that are receiving these community care centres? Was that something, a criteria put to the department by the funder? Because we are living in a country with 9 provinces, yet only 3 of the provinces are getting these community care centres. And there are 17 community care centres being built, and I mean all 17 are in 3 provinces only. Then a point of clarity, and it was mentioned as well in the presentation, page 16, and I quote, that the right, that the functions of the rights of persons with disabilities may be moved from the department to the Ministry of Women, Children and Persons Living with Disabilities. This may be moved because in the presentation it said it is moved. What is it? Is it may be moved, like it stands on page 16, or has it in fact been moved to the Ministry of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities? I think that also makes reference to slide 42 in the presentation. Then on page 32 and 128 in 130, it speaks to the moratorium on filling of posts. And I'd like to quote on page 30, the vacant post of the DG creates a leadership gap in the department. It allows the silo approach and lack of teamwork identified through the strategic planning sessions held by the department. And now I'm referring to the actual annual report. Now, there was an exception made with the filling of the SASA CEO in August. And I struggle to understand that it's a quote on page 30 that calls this vacant post critical and necessary, why it can't be lifted to fill the DG role in the department. So I'd like some just more understanding why that. Then also in a previous committee meeting when we spoke about the National Drug Master Plan, it was said to us that the in DMP was presented to Cabinet. Yet, however, on page 67 in the annual report, I was very surprised to learn that it had in fact not been submitted to Cabinet. And we were given the undertaking, I have it in my notes, I put a statement out on it, that it actually was presented to Cabinet. However, on page 67, it clearly states that the report was not presented to Cabinet. I'd like to know why, and when will it be presented to Cabinet? Then, one more.
Actually, no, no, my point is that if you want to ask question, you ask question about every page here.
It's not every page.
No, no, I understand, but it's moving in that direction.
No, no. But also...
All right, proceed.
Well, one more question.
Yeah.
Page 84, the ABBA Special Adoption Social Services, do they cover the entire country? They are supposed to be training social workers in the adoption services. And also, if they do cover the entire country, how many social workers have they trained? And since it's a specialized skill, how long is the training that they give to the social workers?
Thank you, Chi.
Mandla.
Honorable Masang.
Thank you, Chi.
You are the last on this question. Unless, no, no, I look at the heads. If there are still heads on TST, you can leave them. You on the TSC, you are the last, but I say Mamu Vana is coming.
Thank you, Chair.
Proceed.
Thanks.
I know you are very good in being focused.
Thank you for that compliment, Chair. I'll use it. I just want to thank the Minister and all the presentations that have been made, which have given us more clarity, although some things we will still ask to seek even further clarity on issues, but the presentations have helped a lot. Chair, my question has to do with, and I know this was asked at SASSA, but I had seen it when I was reading the annual report of the department. On page 16, the department talks about the discontinued activities, stroke activities. And the paragraph, but the line I want to refer to is the line that speaks about the social relief of distress, where the annual report talks about the social relief of distress being a regime being fragmented, the legislative framework outdated, the institutional arrangements defunct, and things like that. And I heard that the presentation by SASSA talked about the social relief of distress, and I just would like some plans of making sure that it is managed or administered in a way that is going to allow for us to oversight one point on this case, and also just get rid of the challenges that come with it being the way it is at the moment. And I appreciated that the department actually said what it said about it, because one had known or one had suspected that this was the case. And the second question refers to, the minister mentioned when she was giving her address, the issue of gender-based violence being a huge issue. And as I agree totally with the minister, I know that as a country we have associated the gender-based violence to the high levels of unemployment that lead to people being stressed because they don't have jobs and things like that. But I wonder if as a country, and the minister can lead, being in the cluster, if I may call it, that is dealing with this, if we are going to go beyond that and look at gender-based violence as it affects people that are at high levels, like people like ourselves, as it were. So I just wondered if we are not focusing only on people that are economically, depressed, and as a result, thinking that is only where gender-based violence is happening. And I would like to know if that is being considered at all. And then on page 24, on slide 24, there is a mention of the National Social Security Fund. I would just like to be just some clarity or maybe some, I don't want to say elaboration because I don't understand, but it is one of the targets that were met, and it says that one of those targets was the I think the submission or the approval or the discussion that was successful in the NEDLAC space. So I just would like to know what that is, Chair. And then on slide 38, there is those big numbers that mean that say that there were SMSs. I think there were 120 SMSs or calls that were responded to by the command center. Now, I just wanted to find out if this is a good sign of people having access to this center, or is it a sign of the increase of the gender-based violence? I'm just trying to check what these numbers are, if the department has been able to actually analyze this information and say, oh, because we have communicated this command center numbers and communication, now more people, but the same number of people are coming to us, or is it meaning for us to panic and say, this is, we know it's a crisis, but it's actually very bad. If 120,000 calls can be received and responded to in the space of time that is being given here. And the last one, Chair, I would like to find out about the youth centres that are called the Bosasa Youth Centres. What is the status of them throughout the country? What is going on with them with their recent history that we know about? Thank you, Chair.
Yep.
Let me start where I stopped. I was talking about the homeless people, the one that the minister promised that things will be changed. Really, I can see the department that things have changed. Those that used to sleep just by the gate of the ministers, you won't see them anymore now. It's only today when I saw one and I could pick it up, that one has just arrived yesterday. And the ones that used to sleep here, when you go up, you won't find them. At least they have reduced. Let's motivate and encourage you to do more and try and stop them to sleep there. It's very embarrassing, Chairperson, saying that you are in the portfolio of social development, but at least you do nothing in terms of convincing those people. We understand that sometimes they do have their grant. Others left their homes, but they need a sort of an approach one-on-one in terms of, so keep up the good work that you are doing. Not sure who is leading that project.
The department?
Yes, the department. DG, the department DG. The question that I'm having, in fact, let me start by the ones that are positive, the one of the clean audit chairperson. Yes, let's commend you about the clean audit for 7 consecutive years. It's not something that is familiar to us.
As long as you know there's no clean audit now.
No, I'm coming to that one. You must start by saying, yes, but you follow with but. But we are really disappointed for this one. And I think for now, things will change. You have made a promise that everything is going to change. Let's see the change in this one of the audit. The other one, Chairperson, that I would like to comment on is the drop of the performance. I think, ladies and gentlemen, you shouldn't allow that to happen. Let's always keep in mind that you promise that things will change. You'll turn around the tables. I don't know how and when. That is on page 10 and page 11. It's really frustrating to see that one. And then, let me stop there. I will come to others.
Thank you.
How?
No. There are no members who it is going to be assumed. Oh, you're giving me my mic. Thank you.
Ungathi ufuna nditshela abantu. I won't tell them about you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so there must be no assumption that let me with right department. We give you how many minutes to respond to that?
Chairperson, I've just been warned that I might have to rush, but I would wait until I'm called in. So if I rush out, please excuse me. I think we can.
We give you not more than 30 minutes to respond because we're going to pass to the end.
Okay.
It's 12 minutes past now. Whatever you do, share it within 30 minutes. Whatever you do, share it in within 30 minutes. Yes, ma'am?
There was...
I couldn't. You will follow up when you deal with entities. If I sneak in, you follow up there.
There was just a question on the grade 12 report that was asked on the figures. Of all the grade 12s that set for class 2018, there were above 527, and 59% of those are children that had received any of our children's grant. And of those is about 78% that passed, and we were able to disaggregate it even by the type of pass, with 36% getting bachelor's, 34% getting diplomas and so forth. What we are trying to do with this work is to try and demonstrate the social protection, the outcomes of the social protection interventions that government is trying and is directing towards improving the lives of poor children. So we're able to link our children from our grant systems with the administrative data that is there with education. So we are following and checking and reporting on these children as their progress in different phases to show that as we invest through these grants and other support services such as care, once you combine them, the incomes are much stronger. These children are not able to stay in school, but they do well as they stay in school as government is providing so many investments towards them. Thanks.
Chairperson, I also when some of the questions are being answered and I think I need to chip in there, I will do so very quickly. Just in addition to what Thabani has said, I think this is a moment for us as a department to look at the value chain of that support and then say when they get when they are supposed to now go to university, he missed the point that it's connected to NSFAS. They are not going to go through the means test, which was being done before because we're cutting that one out. It's a good channel to remove, because it's dignity also. You know, when they have to keep on explaining themselves, explaining their poverty and all, it's a bit of a nightmare. So that's going to be cut off. But we also want... In fact, you should give the members that report because it's a... You got it, yeah. So what we also want to see, Chairperson, there is, once they are now passed, who else do we connect to? Besides NSFAS, what other departments would be relevant to support? Because this is the future. When I look at these children, I think their chances of their children, no, chances of them, if they are nursed properly, of girls getting pregnant and this, we need to look at the other things that will empower them so that they can see their future. We already presented the entire report to Cabinet because we wanted the Cabinet, other ministers, to have an interest in it. What we want to see is to go have a conversation with them. motivate them towards the future so they don't fall off? Because it's one thing to be excited about the fact that, oh, they've passed, there's this, but what's going to happen to them? So we must ring fence them, make sure that we nest them right up to the end. We're actually saying yesterday, the young, the both men and women, boys and girls, talk to the boys about, we don't want to have children now. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to be whatever. Talk to the girls and say to the girls, you don't want to be pregnant now because your future looks brighter. But also say, what are their challenges and pain for the future? Deal with the pain. We made the example of them going to university. Most of them are from poor families. They don't have, when they go to university, they don't have the necessary clothes. They don't have bedding. They don't have, the girls don't have sanitary pads. So this is a small sample, but it's a sample that can help us towards the future. Thank you.
I as quite you on the committee. Next, whoever comes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay, we can clap hands. All right.
There were quite a number of questions for Program 4. I'll start with the active aging program, because I think the Honorable Member wanted to know if it's only in these affluent townships. It's not. The approach is more ward-based. We do acknowledge that in some areas it's not, the service centers are not there. Because what happens is that this active aging program is led from the service centers that are in wards. So if there's no service center there, the province has to ensure that there is a service center established. Second, there was a question around documents that were supposed to be approved, which are yet approved, including the NDMP. However, I need to clarify that I may not recall at any point where we indicated that the master plan went to cabinet. I think even when we're talking, Minister was talking about DA members, there was a we will make sure that we facilitate approval of the National Drug Master Plan, which is not approved. It's ready to serve. We are planning for the next cabinet, which is sitting on the 22nd, if all goes well, 22nd of October. In terms of the social behavior change, there was a question as to whether these programs, are they making a difference? We have not evaluated these programs. This program started 2 years back, and for us to evaluate, the program must be implemented for 3 years at least for it to be evaluated. So we're going to evaluate after 3 years to see if we're making an impact. What is important that this social behavior change is got a compendium of sub-programs that are happening, and we are working with SWET, which is an organization of sex workers. I'm answering to the Honorable Member that we do work with sex workers. Secondly, we also work with the LGBTQI community within the social behavior space. There was also a question about the ID use, those who are injecting and drug use, whether we work with them. Yes, we do work with them. The fact that there's a gap, if you look at the new drug master plan, it's beginning to address to say, how then do we deal with the interlinkages between HIV and substance abuse, more so on those who are injecting and drug use. Then the next question was around social work graduates. To say in the AFS part, we're saying the money is more maintaining. Remember, Honorable Members, when we presented about this grant, we said you appoint once. That grant was to appoint once. Then you maintain. It's not like every year you are getting a new money. The very same money you get first year, you must use it to sustain the people you have appointed. And to clarify that, it's not Western Cape that has appointed 13 permanent. In fact, Western Cape was appointing social workers on contract. We had to talk to them to say, you can't appoint people on contract because this grant is there to stay. So appoint them permanently so that you sustain them. Then the community care centers, why in three provinces? The criteria that was used, we looked at the number of orphans and vulnerable children. The highest is KZN. You go to Limpopo, then Northwest. That's where the Germans, we agreed with them to say, let's start there. We're not saying in other provinces there are no problems, but we're looking at the vulnerability in terms of high numbers. So that's where we started with the community care centers. The gender-based violence,
We do have safe houses. They are not enough. I think the question was that they are well known. We have discovered that through, there's an organization that is a network of shelters. What they did, these individual shelters, they sometimes publicize in the, you know, websites. We say you must not, because, for instance, the law in the human trafficking space doesn't allow publication of such names and addresses, because otherwise the perpetrator will follow. So it's something that we are currently addressing to say, please don't publicize this. Just put, you know, contacts without saying where the location is, because that's where the problem is. So we are aware that there's a shortage, and there was a question, how do you then support NPOs that are in the space? These NPOs, I can mention one allocation, which Minister also mentioned in the budget vote, the 50 million from criminal assets recovery account. That was allocated specifically to support the civil society organizations that are supporting the gender-based, more especially the shelters and the victim support. Now, the command center. The command center is a highly sophisticated program. I'm still waiting, and the minister is waiting to host you as members to visit the command center so that you experience yourself what is happening there. You will be amazed as to the work that those 44 social workers are doing in terms of providing online counseling, doing the referrals. We do have network of organizations in each of the provinces, in each of the districts, to say if you need more referral, they already connect. And you'll be surprised, this number is also connected to the 10111, so that if there's a case that social workers can't deal with, it's a more criminal case and it's a threatening life, they refer automatically to the 10111. So I think you can only appreciate it when you visit so that you experience how it is operating. I think I can end there for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Chairperson, I wanted to, because there's been the reference also to the command center, I think one of the things that you would appreciate is the usage of technology in responding to the challenges, but also the traceability, because part of the problem is when people are, they have to run to places and then they're traced and then they're dead. So we're trying to use technology in such a way, because when you get there, you'll see for yourself that it tells you where the thing is happening. So the improvement thereof, it's about connecting to other services thereof, so that, it, you know, the women don't have this double pain. You have to explain yourself, you have to do all those things. So we would like you to come see it. In fact, this Monday, we are at the command center, Friday. Oh, it's Friday. On Friday, we are at the command center also bringing the Minister of Women, Children and People with Disability. Because what we want to do in the long term is to connect easy to the accessibility of other support mechanisms. I believe it's one thing to report and log, but it's another to get the service to happen, to trigger other services. And also, it's the issue of the partnership there with Vodacom. We recently went to a conference on population in Tunisia, and they requested that we report as the Department of Social Development on this call center, because they couldn't believe what they were reading. So you'll get some people coming here in the African continent to talk about that. Because you spoke to the issue of gender-based violence, and I really agree with Masango, Member Masango, in relation to South Africa thinking, the mentality thinking that the real people who suffer violence against women are those ones in vulnerable places. Here's a practical example. One of the best South African women, Dr. Tandi, who was at the Undlovu, she was the doyen, if I can call it that way, in construction, and she's the one that brought women into construction. It had to be at her funeral where you get to hear that no, Naebega abused. And she had to say that to some of the youngsters that she was mentoring, to say to them, here I am, I'm suffering through this, and it's 10 years down the line. So this issue, and the chairperson will land the legacy, because remember the chairperson when we started, violence against women. And it doesn't have to be on the agenda, this issue to be dealt with. I think if we can all begin to do what the chair did, and I've said to SASSA and NDA, we have a good communication platform. How many people come to our offices? Imagine if every time people came to our offices, they just see the message. They don't have to have seen something, but the message. So we want to use our platform as a communication tool to both men and women. And so I don't want the 16 days of activism to be the only thing standing. I've said to SASSA, NDA, and the department, let us have a program that will be 365 days. So when people walk into your offices, something tells them about this fight. So they're working on and how can we use it, because I was told, again, that minister, when you are full of the look, now look, but corner, imitate, or egg valley, I'm not to know. You see, that's exactly where I have a problem. The death of every woman, the bashing of every woman has got nothing to do with compliance. It's got everything to do with us being creative in our space about what we can do. So I'm driving this passion that says, don't wait until something happens. And compliance is meant to hold you accountable. Compliance is not it's not meant to stop you from being creative and making sure that the impact is there on the people. So you must hold us accountable to that, because, you know, I appreciate, you know, the Auditor General's report. It has recommendations. It tells us what to do. That's okay. We've got to follow that. But what we miss is just being a little bit creative. It's just being a little bit feeling the pain that we are talking about. Sorry, Chair, I don't want to be political, but
I'm going to protect you against yourself, because I know there is a level where we should not allow you to get into, because once you are caught up in that one, yeah, it's going to be trouble. All I'm saying is that you can't call somebody who is chasing a partner for assault and still call that a boyfriend. The word friend must be removed there. Something else. You can't say this lady is here has been assaulted by a boyfriend. No, that is not a boyfriend. Find a new name. Proceed.
Chairperson. Chair.
Yes. You want to speak, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
The Gender-Based Violence Command Center. Because we geolocate, it's easy for us to determine then, and that's to answer the question with regards to affluent areas, whether it happens in those areas and it only happens in marginalized areas. Because we geolocate, we could actually see from when we started the GBV, how in affluent areas, the GBV, also the prevalence also went scup high, Chairperson. So we can map it. See, it happened in any in South Africa, whether it's Hunt, whether it's Randburg, whether it's Malnerton in Cape Town, but it's happened everywhere. What we've also did, Minister, was to compare the crime stats with the calls that we received, and two things we found: one, the number of calls that we receive does not translate into cases at SAPS. What we also picked up, the number of cases that SAPS receive in some areas did not come to the Violence Command Center. And therefore, we say that we require much more closer working relationship between all the departments in the criminal justice area. Thanks, Chair.
You've got 12 minutes to go. That man has been lifting a hand at the end there. Okay, Brenda.
Okay. Okay, the questions that I'll answer, there's three that I'll deal with. One relates to the CSG and the under expenditure on the child support grant. And then the two questions from Honorable Abrams and Honorable Masango regarding the National Social Security Fund. And then the question relating to the relief funds.
With regards to the child support grant, yes, we acknowledge, Honourable, I think even Sasa, when they were presenting, spoke about the under-expenditure in that respect. And it has to do primarily with the smaller children. Hence, the work that Sasa is doing to try and bring them in earlier. But we have also recognized that from a policy perspective, that the pickup of the way in which you can improve the early access of children into the child support grant is, as you say, from the time that the mother is still pregnant. But remember how we would not, from how we work, pick them up. So one of the things that we are doing in the department, we started working now in a program that tries to link child support grant beneficiaries to other government services. Because how pregnant women are picked up is primarily through the health department. So if we begin to say, let's crowd in all the different types of social protection benefits that are accessible to pregnant women, also things like nutrition services, access to antenatal care, etc. So the health department will have that information about those women. And then in that regard, also include the home affairs, so that by the time the child is born, immediately a birth certificate is issued, which then makes it easier for SASA to be able to pick up those children. But this is work that we've started now. We're trying to build in all these different interactions to crowd around the pregnant women, so that you can then also improve our access to, or at least improve them, the children's access to the child support grant in that way. So that's work that is ongoing. Then with regards to the National Social Security Fund, I wish I could say the launch is tomorrow. I'm afraid it's still a policy proposal at this stage. What it means is the proposal that says currently in the country there's a big gap in the way that we deal with old age poverty. We provide the old age grant, which the government pays for, and then we also say people who are working should save for themselves. But the way they save for themselves is based on whether or not they have an employer who co-contributes for them in the pension industry, or if they buy individual policies for themselves to save for retirement. There isn't in this country, which is anomalous for a country for economic development, we don't have a national fund that mandates everyone who's working to save for themselves while they are working. So the National Social Security Fund is a proposal to set up such a fund, which would make it mandatory for everyone who's working, irrespective of whether or not your employer has set up a fund, to make sure that while you are working, you save for yourself, so that when you reach retirement age, you don't only rely on that pension. Because currently, a lot of people save for the pension, and then when they leave the employer, they take it out, they withdraw. So if you have like multiple jobs over your career, you arrive at retirement and you haven't saved anything because you've been using the money during. So that is it's still a proposal at this stage. NEDLAC has supported a whole range of other social security reform proposals, but it still has to come to cabinet before it can be implemented and be approved. So the deadline is not there yet. As soon as cabinet approves, then we'll do the law, because it must also be a law, and then all the other work will happen. But with regards to the relief funds, the relief funds that are in place, there's a problem in that they are based on a legislation that is very old, from 1978. And the legislation at that stage allowed for different funds to be established, one called the President. If you look at the end of the annual report, you'll see the different funds being reported on. A lot of those funds, except for one, which is the Social Relief Fund, which we were talking about, the department has decided that we need to consolidate all of those funds into one fund and make it administratively more cheaper, firstly, more efficient, and more coherent. So the idea is to consolidate all of those funds and create one board through whom they will operate. But those funds primarily operate to deal with things like disaster relief. When there's a disaster and people have lost all of their livelihoods, that fund would then be available to them, be able to use. And that's the proposal that we have. This is different from what SASA does in terms of the social relief of distress allocation. That also comes in when there's a disaster, when people
need to be released immediately. You may be the last.
Yes.
If you don't check the time.
Oh, okay. This is the last.
I'm sure that's not your intention.
No, it's not my intention. So SASA has, in terms of the Social Assistance Act, responsibility to pay those funds, to pay people who are facing distress. It doesn't have to be in the nature of a disaster per se, but any kind of distress where they don't have an income, all sorts of things could have happened to the family. They give the short-term relief in terms of the Social Assistance Act. But this one that is referred to there is about the disaster relief funds, which we just need to consolidate and make sure that there's a proper way for those funds to be accessed and a more efficient way for that to happen, and also to align that legislation to more recent legislation post-democracy, such as the PFMA. Currently, there's all sorts of governance problems in the legislation that governs those funds. So all of that we want to fix. We've made the proposal to deal with that.
Nithini ngalandoda.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, sir, Chairperson. I'm answering on the question.
The minister says, in particular, you must be warned of the time.
Thank you, sir. Mine is going to be very quick. 1 minute. There was a question on the issue of the youth camping, youth camp, and whether we follow those youth, and what is the impact or the outcome of the youth camp that we have. We started youth camping in 2012. The aim of the youth camp program is to empower the youth and provide what we call the leadership skills. But it's more than that. It is done in collaboration with the Department of Defense, where we take youth 17 to 24, that comes from the most rural area, the orphan and vulnerable children. We then train them, and we follow them up. After 3 years of its implementation, we found that 6% of those youth that we took, it was 4,800, out of 4,500 youth that we exposed them to the youth camping, which is done in December, 6% of those, when we followed up, they were employed. 511, which is about 0.8% of those, they were trained. And also we had 0.5%, which is about 32 youth that were there, formed business, NPOs, and they were sustainable.
Well,
these youth camps, they are a lot of that takes place there. They come there with self-esteem, personal development plan, and we have found we find that it's very fruitful. We hold these youth camps during December, the first week of December, and then from last year we decentralized to ensure that we cover more youth from provinces. So we all members are also invited, especially in their constituencies in provinces. We will
give you 60 seconds.
We will give you the dates where you can attend those and witness for yourself. But come with the tracksuits and everything so that you can join them in discipline in the discipline.
Minute.
Thank you.
Well, a minute is 60 seconds. Can you deal with that?
Thank you, Chair. There was a question quickly on rights of persons with disabilities. The national, what is it, Nelly? INMOG. The program that was spoke about by the President in terms of moving departments and moving functions. With regards to us, what is moving is the rights of persons with disabilities, and the submission for this movement has been signed, and this will be practically moved in the beginning of the financial year. Otherwise, everything has been done formally in terms of making sure that we know who is moving, how they are going to move. And then the next one was on the post of the Director General. When the CEO position was processed, the post also of the Director General was done, and also the DDG post for corporate services. But unfortunately, because of the processes that were to undergo, a cabinet could not approve the two because of the fact that all of the departments that were submitting their submissions were told to wait for the new administration. So we did put it through. And Minister, as she reported earlier, that's the process that she is undertaking, that she will take. And then the next...
I'm not undertaking the old process. I'm starting from scratch because all the other processes fell off.
Minister, you're disrupting the DG.
Thanks, Chair. The one on Busasa, this is the matter that was processed through cabinet. There was an IMC because it was not only us that was affected by this. It's also home affairs, correctional services, constitutional development, and transport. So we submitted a proposal, a cabinet proposal, that we will be able to, because cabinet was saying that we need to move out of Busasa. So we were saying that we'll be able to do this by the beginning of by March this coming year. But for some reason, Busasa came back, or the liquidators came back and say, yeah, the liquidators came back to us and say, look, they want to exit now. So this is the process that Minister and the Minister of DPSA were discussing to say this, how we need to manage this moving forward so that there is no crisis and no problems with regards to how this will affect the children that are in these centers. That's all.
Thanks, Didi.
Chairperson,
you are the last minister. Okay. You have closed the time now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So just a
to whatever
one,
closure you want
to
make.
With regard to this one of the Busasa, there are provinces that took a decision to deal with it themselves, falling within the proper whatever. I think there's three provinces that we don't have a problem with. There are six provinces that we have to deal with. And my meeting already with the minister was just yesterday, where we were saying, can we quicken the process? Because it's not about processes, it's about the services that was rendered, and people still want the services to be rendered. Chairperson, I think most of the questions were answered. I didn't hear about the Thuthuzela centers. Yeah. I didn't
Did
hear. No. No.
Unless
yeah, you know, I prefer so that members don't get confused. When the members ask a specific question, when we're answering, we must refer to that because then it gets lost.
Minister,
huh?
Your satisfaction.
Yeah.
Who should delete it?
Yes.
Better tomorrow. You are the last.
Thank you.
Last.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of Thuthuzela care centers, I think the issue that the honorable member was raising was that the functionality or the operational mechanism. I need to also indicate that Thuthuzela falls within NPA and health. And what happened was that they appointed NGOs to run the psychosocial support. It's now that we are saying a social development. How can we best support the Thuthuzela care centers? Because they are not in the DSD space. But we believe that psychosocial support and intervention is very critical for the survivors of gender-based violence. This includes also the victim-friendly facilities that are in police stations. To say we need to make sure that there are social workers who are providing that support in terms of making sure that there is psychosocial support, and when the statements are taken, even the victim impact statements are taken in the presence of such social workers. We can go on to the Kuseleka one-stop centers. We can go on to the white door safe spaces, including the shelters. So that's why I said I just talked to it as one in terms of sheltering without naming, because there are different categories of those. Thank you, Chair.
Sasa. Comments? Looked good. You can pass it without comment. Honorable Stock, Honorable Manganya, Honorable Yo. Ah, yeah, we have you. Honorable Stock, Honorable Manganya, Honorable Mvana, Honorable Masango, Honorable Abrams, Handler is not there, Honorable Seke, Honorable Ngwenya. I know who's all right. Stock? Where is the mic?
Oh, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also take this opportunity to thank all the presenters for the three comprehensive presentations, but in particular for, I would like to just to find out from the department in regards to, I think it's the, in the AG's presentation on page 25, which speaks about the irregular expenditure, I think it's an amount of plus minus 2 billion or something. If they can just give us clarity as to is the entire portfolio, sorry, yeah, it's not SASSA in particular, but it's the entire portfolio, but SASSA also, the chunk of the money comes from SASSA. I think I needed to correct that. So if the department can just, if SASSA can also clarify us in terms of the contribution of money that came from them, which is highlighted in that presentation by the AG, as to why I did not follow recommendations of the, why recommendations not followed, why also some of the monies are not being condoned or some are not classified as fraudulent activities and all of that. Because we need to find out and know exactly what happened there so that we are clear in terms of the clear accountability measures and the action that needs to be taken by the department. And then I think we'll also appreciate at a later stage as a portfolio committee, if the department from time to time we can be taken on board in terms of the some of the recommendations like an activity plan as to what steps or measures are going to be taken from the department to address those recommendations of the AG. I think it will also assist us a lot moving forward. And then the other question is the suspension of the biometric system due to the labor dispute. I think we have had in our last portfolio committees, every now and then we speak about the biometrics and what. But this time we are told there's a problem because there's a possible labor dispute which has resulted into that implementation of the biometric system being suspended. So I want to find out if the system is going to be suspended, and then part of the reason that we were given in the past is that we will have to implement the system so that we can deal with some of the irregularities within the system that are there, the fraudulent activities, the what. So if the union is going to stop us, I mean really, and then we have to ask a question to say what is the interest of this union? Do they want to see us moving forward as a country, or what is the interest that they represent? If they can just stand up and stop a system which is actually going to benefit us and save us more money as a country and as a government. So I want to know which approach is the department taking, SASSA is going to take to ensure that that system, the biometric system, ultimately will be implemented accordingly. My last question is regarding the when SASSA moved from the CPS system to SAPO. There's a number of savings which I have actually taken note of in the fiscus. I think the CFO, when he was presenting, indicated a fiscal saving of about almost a billion or so. Now, I want to know, that fiscal saving, did SASSA go back to Treasury and find out if they can still use the money as part of the savings of SASSA? Or maybe is that money being taken away from SASSA to other department? Thank you very
much. Honorable members, is it necessary not to say something about NTA in your comments? Now that we have dealt with the elephant, so feel free to speak about both what to call entities. I'm trying to manage time in your interest. Whatever, Mangani?
Friend. Ke a leboga re motlotlegi Ngungubele. Ke motswana nna Ngungube. Ka Setswana. Rare di retwa di tswa moka. So all those answers and promises that you have been saying now, I think after some months, we'll see the fruits. Like about the Western Hotel, so now I'm not going to say anything because I like people who are listening. You know, listening is a skill. You can't get it anywhere if you don't create it for yourself. So when I say to someone, this bottle, tomorrow don't put it here, the place of this bottle belongs to here. And then that person listen. It shows. It shows that if you listen, you will do better than what you were doing before. So I'm also referring to the two, today you are so beautiful, the two beautiful ladies. You know, to listen, you build yourself. No one will build you if you don't listen to the people who try to say this thing and so forth. So keep it in that fashion, ladies, so that iske ya etelwa ke yena magadi ya wela ka lengope etelwe ke yena magadi e bone botshelo. So if le ka dira yalo, le tlo ira dipotso tse re di botsang tse di tlabe di fedile. And then lastly, because nna ga ke batle go botsa poso, the minister, you know, when you open in the morning, you touch all of us. You know why? Because you say it up front. Where there are challenges, you say, here did have some challenges. So that when we engage fully knowing that the department got challenged in this way. How can we work together? Because our mission is not to find all these problems that are happening. It's to assist the department so that when you are outside the social development, you also feel happy and say, hey, kulapho dipilonga kona kule committee. You see, high in this field. So people who are open to what is happening, we are here to assist each other. So feel free next time when you come. Don't hide. Because if you hide, we won't if we could do it before you come here and say this thing. So Mena, I appreciate to see you. Libotaban today, they are on par. At least we are seeing some light. Thank you very much, Che.
You didn't lift your hand. You did not lift your hand, Anastasia.
Okay.
All right, allow her to speak.
Che. Mina, I've got another question. Indeed, Chair, the department is doing very well. Minister, we rely on you and your department, and you're doing the good job up to so far. In line with the service level agreement between SAPO, it's between SAPO and SASA. How do you ensure that SASA comply? Because the situation in our township is very bad. It can be good in papers, but the practicality of rate. You know, hence I'm saying it's only one question about the service level agreement. How do you ensure that SASSA and SAPO comply?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I was thinking door, the high door. Honorable Anastasia, song it, in fact, sing it on a door, Pezul, and I'll sing it in a door, Osezan. This one of the compliance with SAPO. Is there a way that you are able to get the report from SAPO that the money that you are saying you are depositing straight to SAPO or the post office, is it getting to people? Because I've got issues. One honorable member put it in the group chat that certain area, people couldn't get the grant. That was last month. So now I'm also interested, is there a way that you are able to monitor and get reports? I know for a fact that this service level agreement that we're talking about has got some sort of restrictions. Oh, okay. I am impressed. I'm impressed about the report, Chairperson.
Which one?
This one of SASSA. I'm impressed. It gives a clear picture. Even if you have just joined this portfolio committee, but at least you do have a picture of what is it that is happening. Especially, Minister, when you get the detail of it in terms of the numbers. Page 16 and page 20, Ariane Vala, because it gives you the picture of what is it exactly that is taking place. Remember, we requested in the previous meeting, would give us some detail a little bit, so that in each and every province, we have an idea of what is it that is taking place. Enkosi kakhulu, I think ilento inhle, but there are still gaps, and as funu filisha somewhere, somehow. Thank you very much.
I just want to draw your attention that the three members who have spoken have just adhered to the principle of brevity. Whatever, my son.
You are saying two words.
I'm just saying, which I know is your style.
But Chair, thank you. I've already thanked for today. My question has to do with the AGs combined with the presentation this morning. That was talking about, the AG was telling us that some of the challenges that they believe SASSA has are the challenges of the acting positions, where people in key positions are acting for long periods of time. And so that makes them not, that is now the AG, not get the information that they want, or it lessens the levels of urgency in responding to what the AG wants. As a result, we then get a situation where SASSA is at the moment, in as far as they are audit, although they did well, but there are issues that are very critical where they have not done well. And the second one is the... I won't ask that because it's already been asked by my colleagues. And then the issue, we heard the good news recently that SASSA had what court said some get 3 million. I just would like to know that's 116 million now. Has it been asked from the people that took it, and has it come back to SASSA, or what is the process there in terms of getting the money back? We have waited for quite some time for it. And the issue, page 31 or slide 31 speaks to the number of the APONs. We know that the APONs, there are cases where there are challenges of the APONs being there and people not coming. But counter to that, we're getting calls and complaints of people. If I can give an example of Zonke Zizwe, I believe, where people do not have a support office, they don't have ATMs there, they don't have the, you know, the retailers, and now they are supposed to club together and get taxes at cost to go to the net. But the presentation that was made to us, and we agreed to it because it made sense, was that because of the footprint of SAPO in the country, it and SASA was doing a whole lot of work to ensure that the radius of where people are based is making them not to spend lots of money to actually go and get their money. I just would like to know what the exercise of doing all that has produced, because these I believe at least that these complaints are valid. And I'll stop there, Chair. Thanks.
That brevity was wonderful.
Thank you, Chair.
Where's the honeymoon class? Discount.
Thank you, Chair. I've just got some point of clarities on the slides, apart from the AG matters that the other members have covered. Realistically, point of clarity, page slide 15, we've got lots of problems with the Department of Public Works with regard to the building. Did you say that SASA will be purchasing their own building? Did I hear that correctly or not? Then also, I sincerely hope that since we are going digital, that we have a credible backup system when we have stored all of these millions of information on it. Slide 27, when you're saying that 80% of applicants are processed in one day, are we saying someone comes in on Monday the 1st and by the 2nd they are loaded and ready to draw money? Is that what one day processing means with in SASA terms? Then also, I just want to find out, have there been any other, since the changeover of systems, have there been any illegal airtime and data deductions that have come up, and how are you dealing with that since the new changeover? And then just for the NDA, I've noticed that
NDA, are you awake?
Looking at NDA, I've noticed that your NDA board expired at the 3rd of Jan this year. Will you be advertising a new board, or will this current board be extended? When will this new board come into effect? Thank you, Chair.
My hairline is relaxing today.
She's not feeling well, Chair.
Oh, no, sorry.
She's not feeling well. I have a few questions that I just want to ask in terms of both entities. The first question that I just want to go back to is the one in slide 18 that was mentioned by my colleague in the first question around the current labor dispute. Does the department know what are the reasons for the union holding out on this, because obviously it has financial implications in terms of prosecuting people that have done wrong, and also to accurately identify where there is fraudulent activities within the department. It is a very serious matter. If a biometric system that is a risk mitigator in terms of fraudulent activity is not being able to be implemented because of a labor dispute, then the department needs to attend to the matter with high priority. So is it sabotage? Is somebody covering something up? Is there a process that is being used in order for the department not to be able to uncover most likely labor issues that has got to do with criminality? I'm asking that question. If you have the answer, would be good. There are two issues with the department that the Auditor General has highlighted with us, which is the weaknesses that has been identified by the Auditor General. One of which is that the executive management is responsible, let's say, for the losses that the departments are incurring. What is being done, what is going to be done differently, and I know that with SASSA we're sitting with a new CEO, so this is not reflecting on you, ma'am, but we need to know what is it the management going to do differently, because otherwise we're going to have the same story again when we have reporting. So is it a case of our people needing to be build capacity around strong leadership to make sure that implementation happens? Has there been a gap analysis where there is a current CEO in a role that can account for what AXA has highlighted? What are the gaps there? Is there a human resource development plan to ensure that individuals at an executive level is able to execute their duty to ensure that audit outcomes are actually adhered to? There has been an issue, slide 15, this refers to SASSA. The article that was in the newspapers that made an assessment around the rural areas mentioned, and it is very interesting, that the most affected by service centres or the lack thereof are in the rural areas. Is the department attending to that matter? We had a case last week that was flagged by people staying on the outskirts of the Free State, coming to the pay points in Bloemfontein, and they didn't get their money. The money was only in on the second day, on the third day. So that is an issue that affects specifically the elderly and people that does not have money, that is, you know, reliant on transport to get to service centres. Then in terms of the Department of Social Development, one of the areas that was brought out by AXA again is there was a regression in terms of audit outcomes. So, and this is not it's not the minister to answer, but it's certainly the chief financial officers that needs to answer in terms if you have been in the role, obviously, and if not, if you knew what is going to be done in order to make sure that those audit outcomes that has been reported by AXA is going to be attended to, because it has been flagged here that there was a regression in terms of that. Just one moment, Chair.
Is that the last one?
No, Chair. The slide 16, there's debts written off. If the department can please explain what those debts are that has been written off. And what is in slide 18, what is the timeline for the project or the project deadline? How far is the process of the project that was mentioned by the department? And this has to do with SASSA, yes. I think I'll keep it there. NDA.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Just
making sure if it was clear.
Yes.
Chair, I only have one question. Then there's 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. So I'm adhering to. I see Chair likes having one question. So my first question, which is number one, the heading. Okay, firstly, these questions are for SASSA. And
Thank you for the presentation. I actually liked it. I enjoyed that you went to the kitchen and you told us everything that was going on there. I like the kitchen because that's where the heat is. So I just need to find out with SASSA in terms of the report that we got from Auditor General, that it was said that with SASSA, I thought I had it here with me, that the majority of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure was mainly on the contractor invoices that were being paid by SASSA and the services were not delivered. And it is said that was a cost of 78 million rand. So if we can have a breakdown of what has happened there, and there has been a significant delay on your side to get a proper consequence management and to make sure that you follow up on that money, yes. and you deal with whatever happened or whoever happened in that sense. Which brings me to your presentation in page 41, where it deals with unfilled positions. You have quite a number of them, except for the CEO. That's what we are aware of, that's the position that has been filled. These other positions, if you can indicate to us if have they been filled or not, because then it will partially answer my question of the problems you are having with Auditor General's report. Because if you do not have a COO, then that will be definitely a cost to you having and spent 78 million rand that is unaccounted for, that has been given to service providers who did not provide that service. And it says that your regions, your executive managers, I see here there's six regions that do not have executive managers. So out of nine provinces, it's six. SASSA. So out of nine provinces, we have six provinces that do not have regional executive managers. So if you can just explain to us there, and how are you going to be able to just deal with this and remedy this problem, and how soon can that be done? And 1.1, it's the NDA. My main issue with the NDA, your Western Cape office, they are just not helpful at all. You know, we have NPOs and CSOs, Elanga, Ekhayelitsha, Enyanga that I've been speaking to. They go to the office, there are those who had been promised that there will be training that's starting in September, and they'll be called and told when. Up to date, it has not happened. And if we can just follow that up, please, because when I call myself, I've tried to get hold of, I don't know, it's the manager or who, yeah, but I cannot get help assistance at all. And those people are sitting there hoping to get that training to be able to deal, to work on their CSOs and NPOs. And as well as the report, yes, the NDA, you know you're my favorite person, so I'm not attacking you. So we mustn't fight when you go out of here. But I'm very, very concerned with NDA. In yesterday's report, it was the highest red flag, the highest flying in terms of slow or no response at all in terms of financial statements, in terms of late submissions and senior management not responding to the recommendations of the AG. And the irregular expenditures, which are still not investigated. So we also have a problem there with consequence management. So if we can just have an indication of what is it exactly that is a problem, NDA, in the term, in response to the issue with your audit report. I think I will end there, Chair. So it was one question.
What I like, Honorable Mwenya, you declare many questions, one question. That's a very smart way of doing it. Because we got trapped in believing that we're dealing with one question. But questions came in many ways. That's a smart... I think that's where... Let me just say this before you respond. The AG report doesn't speak well about the department. Doesn't matter how you look at it. I think if you understood Honorable Seke, if I'm not misrepresenting her, people might think that she was praising when she said, having looked at AG's report and listened to what is happening, she sent an impression that she was excited about what is being said. But the point is that there was a disjunction. Now the question that was hidden there is, how honest is the department's report? That was what is hidden in her point, is it? But when the minister spoke, her concern resonated with the AG, is what to call. But when some managers respond and the report, there's a, whether it's intentional or unintentional, there's a distortion of the ugly picture of what the AG is saying. Now, it speaks to certain degree to, is there no integrity crisis in here? It's a question that we, at some stage we need to deal with. Because numbers don't lie. That's the challenge. Numbers don't lie. For instance, if you go to SASA, CEO, SASA got some thumbs up in terms of investigations, but which don't end anyway. They tend to be similar to where there is no investigation. That's exactly where the problem is. The poor National Democratic Alliance, at least, they are not investigating. Yeah, they are just not investigating. At least theirs is clear. Or I withdraw. NDA is just not investigating. It is their issue is that they are totally sleeping at work. It's very clear. SASA, an impression is created that some work is being done. But it is not, but these things don't get somewhere. They are being done, investigated. And if you go to the root causes, because I think the department must be worried about this. What page is that? It's towards the end of the report. I thought you'd be quick for me, for my sake. Slide what? Slide 24. You see? That's why Honorable Abrams must never allow to be far away in case you need such references. Page 24. I don't think one is just to read this again for the record of this meeting. Root causes. Right? Slow, listen to this, slow or no response to improving key controls and addressing risk areas. 100% down.
management of the DSD, SASA, NDA brackets, and the political leadership. I hope the minister was here, successor in title, do not respond with the required urgency to our messages about addressing risk and improving 10 internal controls. That's a huge indictment. Let me tell you why. These are ABCs of management. These are the basics. I want to repeat this so that you understand how serious the matter is. Then you will not be surprised if you go to, I can ask now, Honorable Abrams on the provisioning assurance provisions. Which slide is that one? 30. 14. Alala. Can you keep these things for me? Or else you must lose your job. Assurance, that is slide 14. I just want to relate things to you. Senior management level. And that code pink, I don't know what colors, I must be very careful. Is that purple or pink? Pink. Provide limited or no assurance. 100% at a senior level. 100% at a senior level. That speaks to the DG, the DDG, and all the top guys there. Now, go there, it says, these do not address these issues. Now, what I'm saying is that putting these things in place are the basics. What this bar says, we are not worried. We don't wake up any day being worried whether activities of the department and their intentions are on course and are going where they are supposed to. We're not worried. That's all. And mind you, this is not a spiritual statement. It's a factual statement. It's not like somebody is saying, I heard the Holy Spirit and speaking strange tongues. These are facts, and it must embarrass the department. Are we together? This, Mangumalo, should not make the department happy. At all. Now, let's go to issues of vacancies. Instability of vacancies in key positions. The instability and prolonged vacancies in key positions at the TSD and SASA can cause a competency gap and affect the rate of improvement in audit outcomes. There is no improvement. Yeah. That's what Honorable Ngwenya was raising. Where is the CFO of SASA? Whilst one appreciates the sensitivity to the fiscal crisis, the sensitivity to fiscal crisis does not say the essential positions should not be occupied. Because if you do not have essential positions, then close the institution. Are we together? Why do you have something which is not going to perform what it's supposed to perform? Let's go down there. Inadequate consequences for poor performance and transgression. If officials of NDA who deliberately or negligently ignore their duties and contravene legislation are not held accountable for their actions, such behavior can be seen as acceptable and tolerated. Ma'am, these are basics. This is what we are paid for. Are we together? There is no self-respecting institution that can go on with this. sixth administration, and I repeat, majority of you have been part of this. Others accept a successor in title. To me, I thought I should emphasize this so that no confusion is left about how serious this thing is. Now, on assurance provision, here is something that is a discord. Audit committee provides assurance 100%. DSD, SASA, NDA. But there's a disjuncture between that and the higher level of 100% no assurance. It means senior managers are not influenced by the reports of the internal audit. It means you don't care a damn about them. Because what this means is that what these people are supposed to do, they do. But the reflection up there says, we don't care about it. It translates in something. Here is the AG speaking about it. Because figures don't lie. Executive authority provides some assurance. I wish the minister was here to hear this. Accounting officer, stroke authority, 67% SAM, 33% SASA, SILCH. I want to make sure that we rub this on the sixth administration. We rub it because the sixth administration cannot carry this. We want to be remembered as the class of sixth administration. We want to do that with you. Because in you, the capability does exist to make us the class of sixth administration. And then, what are the implications? Is that if you go to recommendation of the AG, appropriate to the department and its entities. Appropriate actions must be taken to ensure that vacancies in key positions are filled. Internal control, which is basic. I repeat this. It's basic. Let me say, DG, where I work, a manager would be fired for this. It's a basic. Because the question I would ask the manager, how did you expect these things to be delivered if these basics are not in place? Internal controls, monitoring of compliance, all applicable legislations, audit action plans, the accounting, the portfolio committee, that is with us. This one says, the portfolio committee that is not sleeping on duty is supposed to monitor progress on action plans to address control deficiencies. Are we together? A portfolio committee that is not sleeping on duty will monitor the filling of critical vacancies in the portfolio that arose. That's what Honorable Ngwenya was doing. A portfolio committee that doesn't sleep on duty will monitor the implementation of MOA between SASA and SAPO and that the key controls to be implemented by SASA are managed in terms of the MOA to ensure that the grants paid and social assistance services. What does this mean? In the next meeting where we meet, this action plan to deal with these things in its entirety must be tabled here. It must be sent before so that honorable members read it. By the time they come to portfolio committee, they have got a sense of what the action plan. Because it cannot be business as usual. It cannot be said that more than 2 billion, the basics that are required, you all know, if there's any regular expenditure of 2 billion, you have got an ethical, obligatory responsibility to make sure that you investigate the source of that. If it's corruption, appropriate measures are taken. If you bought a chair, you didn't follow the rules, but a chair can be found, it exists, you apply for condonation. You cannot leave dark 2 billion in the dark, because what this thing says, in the past 5 years, we are living with a 2 billion which we cannot explain, whose situation cannot be explained. 2 billion. Let me tell you why this should not be accepted. The fiscal crisis in the country is as follows. We pay a year to the money borrowed for development and for running this country an interest of 200 billion a year. An interest. Third of our fiscals goes to wages. Around 60 billion, around 60% to GDP is the debt. So you cannot sit not knowing what happened to 2 billion. Irregular expenditure. So what we want is the total, complete action plan on the AG when we meet. And I repeat, it should be sent up front before the committee meets so that members have read it, interrogated, because being the class of the sixth administration begins now. I'm looking at you. We are going to be a great family together, but a family of integrity, honesty, performance, efficiency, accountability, transparency, clarity, you can use whatever term you want, predictability, reliability, authenticity, whatever word you want to use. We want to be the class of the sixth administration with those characteristics. And I know we're capable, all of us. No one must leave. All of us can do it. You can respond. We give you until 4:15 so that we close the meeting. No. I also, we nearly forgot something. Eh? Financial health in slide 16. Where asset and liability management is called to question. Current liabilities exceeding current assets, indicating liquidity issues, which means that the department may not be able to pay its creditors. This one can be explained. I'm going to be honest with you, but give a satisfactory response to it. Because if there's no satisfactory response, it means there is a problem. The one includes negative cash flows may not mean there's a crisis, but reassure that there is no crisis. All right? We're in your hands.
Chair, I will ask the team to respond to different questions, but I just wanted to put context on one particular one of the filling of vacant positions, particularly the ones in the regions. When I presented previously, I indicated that the department was top-heavy. So I was reluctant to fill the positions for the sake of filling the positions. So we started a process of reviewing what structures do we need, therefore what levels do we need to have in the regions. We now have an operating model that we're going to adopt this month before we present our strategy and high-level structure, and then we'll start filling the positions. So I just thought it was important to put that context to the reason why the regional managers we have not filled those particular positions. this has got implications for some of the positions at head office, because again, I was really concerned about how top heavy we are, but we're closer to where we were 4 months ago when I started. So definitely when we come back, we'll be able to explain as to what's the process. We've already started advertising some of the positions that existed when the minister uplifted the moratorium. As you remember, in the past we had a moratorium. It was lifted and we started advertising some of the positions and we're beginning to fill them. We're starting the interviews actually this week. So I just thought I should...
Can we, so that when you proceed, I think we should be on the same page on this matter. It is understood that there could be fiscal constraints. There's no one who wants to debate that. But what is key is that if there are problems that AG detects because you lack personnel, that's the principle. In other words, had there been no AG's problems, we would not be discussing these issues. Had there been no non-performances in certain areas, we would not be discussing. In other words, if your staff is organized in such a manner that what you're supposed to do minimally, you do, we are not going to go to this question. In other words, we don't want to be so mechanical about appointing. But the principle is that have you got minimum skills you require to do your work? Are we together?
We are, Chair.
Yes.
So I'll ask the CFO, together with Tandi, to respond to the issues that relate to the irregular expenditure and how we're resolving those issues.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me start with the 1.8 billion irregular expenditure and quickly give context to it. I think SASA received a qualified opinion for 2016-17-18. Primarily was the irregular expenditure.
No. Wait, Chief. I'm going to interrupt now. This 1.8, is it part of 2 billion? No. We want a report. We want results of investigations. We don't want that. That's exactly the problem. You continue to deal with these matters. On the 2 billion, we don't want an answer which is not in the report. Just go and investigate, give the report. We're starting on a wrong note. Leave the 2 billion, there's no story about it. Investigate so that you don't change the goalposts. That's what the AG is unhappy about. I'm sure you gave the same response to the AG. But the record of investigation is not there. Let's leave the 2 billion.
No, it's fine, Chair.
What an action plan.
I wanted to really give you the
status. No, leave it.
Okay.
I'm advising you to leave it. We want to be serious now. We don't want to deal with this matter in this casual way.
Okay. The second question that... onto has to do with the savings that we have received as SASA. We have already forwarded the request for the savings, which is the retained surplus from National Treasury, and that will be concluded with National Treasury. We did receive a preliminary answer to say that we can keep the retained surplus of about 640 million. Which is part of the savings that we have. So we have already engaged National Treasury about the savings that we have made in the 2018-19. The 316 million, we issued a letter of demand to CPS. So we have to really engage and give them time for them to respond and pay back the money. Under normal circumstances, allow them actually 30 days for them to make good of that request to pay the 316 million. There was an issue relating to say what is it that we're going to be doing differently at executive management level in relation to the financial misconduct cases, which is the regular expenditure. Chair, there were about three layers that we have done at an executive level for the 2018-19. One was to deal with the completeness of the financial misconduct registers. So that was done and completed. Hence, we got an unqualified audit opinion in terms of the registers. Two was to deal with the prevention in terms of recurrence of this. You will have noted that the regular expenditure for the 2018-19 was only 67 million that was added, and primarily composed largely with the issues of the leases, the lease portfolio that we're dealing with. That's the biggest challenge that we had in 2018-19, which in 19-20 we are focusing on, linked primarily with our engagement with the public health department. So the prevention mechanism is actually working now to prevent it. The third element, obviously, is the consequence management that you said, Chair, I shouldn't be able to deal with it. I'll be able to deal with it when we submit the report.
Good.
There was an issue relating to the 74 million or 78 million relating to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, primarily made largely by one big transaction of about 74 million that we paid to CPS for the period 2017-18, and this 74 million had to do with the work that SASSA has taken from CPS without the contractual agreement being made in terms of that work that was supposed to be done by CPS to be done by SASSA. And this is the matter that currently we're engaging in courts with CPS about the 74 million relating to that. So it means that we have taken people that had their own bank accounts, and we did that work ourselves without a written agreement of the implication of the contract that was running. This was in line with the insourcing or taking work from CPS in terms of the constitutional court that was done in 2017-18. So between month of February and March in that year, we did actually work ourselves, but we did not have an agreement with CPS on the implication of that. So this is the issue of the contractual implications and interpretation that happened between the two parties, which was not linked with the services rendered in terms of the contractual interpretation of that transaction. So that's what the AG had a problem with, and currently we're engaging on the court process around this matter in relation to that, because it is unjustified enrichment from CPS. But it was in line with the work that CPS was supposed to do, which we did internally without a formal agreement with them in terms of what are the constitutional implications around it. Yeah, I think I've covered those few questions.
That was brevity at its best. Next.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
You don't have to respond to issues that need submission.
Yeah.
Just respond to those things which think needs clarity now.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Just the question around the suspension of the biometrics due to the labor dispute. We have been engaging the unions, and there are two parts to this dispute that was raised. The first was around the staff access, biometric access to the system, and then the second part was the staff doing the biometric enrollment of beneficiaries and applicants. As far as the enrollment of beneficiaries and applicants, the dispute from the union was that this was an additional function, and therefore they wanted staff to get extra compensation for having to do this. We did not see it as a different function because it was a process that we were doing before the relationship with CPS, and we just brought it back but in an electronic format. However, we've been engaging with the union. We then agreed with the union that we would separate the two parts of the project, and we would deal with the staff access to the system as the first part, and then we would go on and look at the beneficiary biometric enrollment. There has been lots of progress made, and in the last meeting that we had with the unions at the end of September, they've now agreed, and they see that as this is part of the automation that we're doing. So it's not a standalone thing that we're doing. And we are currently rolling out the staff biometric access to the system in the Eastern Cape, which is one of our hotspot areas. And there is agreement that we will continue rolling out in the other provinces. We finally won that battle. There were some issues around the system that they had issues on, that they wanted just confirmation around the integrity of the system and the confidentiality of information, of staff information, which we've been able to do. So we are going with that. As far as the beneficiary biometric enrollment as well, we've agreed to a project plan that we will then also start rolling that out. And as we do it, we will also then do a job evaluation assessment so that they can see for themselves on an objective way that this, in fact, is not additional. It's not an additional function. It may add time to the administration. So all of those issues have been dealt with, and certainly we're now able to go ahead and start implementing that. The issue then with the service level agreement we have with the post office and how to ensure that post office complies, we have a number of structures in place, starting right from the local level where we manage the service level agreement. And we have with various things written to the post office on areas of non-compliance and put them on terms, and we monitor that very closely. I do want to say that the process of getting the post offices up to standard is something that's not going to happen overnight. We have managed to get at least chairs in at some of the post offices and some of the other dignity services, but we know we have a far way to go, and it is something that we are engaging with post office, because we were saying to them that their footprint was the reason that we partnered with them, that footprint then needs to be able to provide the services that we're looking at and act to the standard that we want. So it is a continuous engagement with them. The other thing I wanted to just respond to very quickly is around the what does one day processing mean. For SASSA, it means that if somebody comes to a local office and does an application for a grant and has all the documents, they will leave that office with a letter of outcome to confirm whether they've qualified for the grant or not. It does not mean that the money is in their account the next day. On the payments, we only do a payment extraction once a month. So anything processed before payment extraction will be for payment in the next month. Anything processed after payment extraction will only go in the following month. But they've got the outcome of their application, and for us, that is what the one-day processing is about. And then just the last one from me, Chair, is whether we are still seeing unauthorized deductions for airtime and prepaid electricity, and the quick answer to that is no. The new SASSA card account does not allow for any EFT debits or stop orders at all, so we're not seeing that at all on the SASSA card. Where people have their own commercial bank accounts, they're entitled to sign stop orders and so on, and it's not something that SASSA can control. So if they sign on their own accounts, we wouldn't know about it, but certainly not on the SASSA card. Thank you, Chair.
That is left to their discretion.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. May I respond to the question regarding the challenges with public works from Honorable Abrams? Yes, SASSA has over the last year experienced serious challenges with regards to office accommodation, because a decision was taken some years ago that we will do our procurement of office accommodation through the Department of Public Works. However, the SASSA Act, Section 12 of the SASSA Act, allows us to procure office accommodation, and therefore we've taken a decision to, in a way, part ways with Public Works and do this ourselves, because it is allowed in terms of the SASSA Act. And yes, we are considering all options. We've developed a 10-year infrastructure plan that talks to the information from the Stats SA reports that says there'll be possible growth in that area, and we also look at the level of poverty in those areas, and then we started plotting to say where will we continuously need infrastructure and what would be the best way, because by now we've determined that it's cheaper to actually own property rather than rent from others. We have a few properties, I think about 11, in Limpopo, and we're also building another 3 in the Northern Cape. And where we already have infrastructure in Limpopo, we're not renting from anybody, so we're only carrying the cost of municipal services and maintenance of the building, day-to-day maintenance, but we're saving a lot of money. So we've decided that in some instances we will procure, in some we will even build the infrastructure, because it's cheaper to buy a building now for 5 million rand and save that 5 million that we normally pay over 3 years for the next 20 years. So we are definitely considering it. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, ma'am. Diana, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question around the safety of the files that we currently scanning. What I want to assure the Honourable Member is that the information that is scanned of the beneficiary's files is actually replicated. So if anything were to go wrong with the server where the information is stored, the information is actually replicated. And also, it's actually safer and cheaper to store and manage, you know, digital files than paper files, because we have had a history where one of our warehouses got banned and we lost actually those paper files and we couldn't easily recover them. Whilst I'm still on the floor, I think there was a question from the Honourable Member around the suspension of the biometrics project. What I want to highlight is that there are currently several interventions that are taking place in order to combat fraud, mainly focusing on prevention and strengthening internal controls, such as, for example, bank account verification. So once someone's grant is approved, before payment is made, we actually make sure that that payment goes into that beneficiary's account. In addition, there is an internal audit project where we are focusing on large amounts, because we have seen actually that some of the fraudulent activities is around the large amounts that we pay, so we're going to be auditing that. But also there is compliance monitoring that we are doing, especially focusing on areas that have been identified by the Auditor General, so that we close those loopholes where there are issues. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, if I can just add, there was a question that I had missed. There was a question around whether we can monitor that post offices actually deposited the money into the accounts. As we said earlier when the presentation was being made, SASSA does the direct deposit. So we do that through BankServe, and we can confirm and we can see that the money is in the account. There are some challenges in terms of people accessing, and I know that was one of the questions, particularly the first day of payment last month, where people travelled to Bloemfontein, they couldn't get their money, it was available on the 3rd. The money was in the account. What happened in that specific case was that there was a system failure on the SAPO IGPS, and they had to reverse transactions that were being shown as having been completed when, in fact, the person didn't get the money. They tried to access money through an ATM. It said the transaction was finalized, but there was no money, and those transactions had to be reversed. They were done overnight, which meant that the people could access their money only the next day. Those kinds of system failures we are monitoring very closely, and it's part of the things that we follow up with the post office in terms of non-compliance to the service level agreement, because the service level agreement says that if the money is in the account, people must be able to access it. And then just the last one very briefly is a question around closure of pay points, and it came indirectly. What I really want to say, and I know that it's very topical in the media at the moment, on the first of the month, SASSA has paid the grant. The money is available in the accounts. And although we still provide services at 1,740 cash pay points, which is significantly reduced from what we had, we also need to look at that in context, in terms of the fact that the national payment system has expanded significantly from when we started with cash pay points. When we started with cash pay points, there was no other infrastructure for people to access money. Now there is. And we're really trying to say to our social grant beneficiaries, you are a South African citizen like anybody else. We don't want them to be seen as different and needing to be mommied and so on. So we really want them to use the national payment system. We want them to be able to use existing infrastructure, because apart from anything else, the maintenance of cash pay points is incredibly expensive. It's very high risk taking out cash. So we're really wanting to get to a point where we can confirm to everybody your money is available. And you see that where the money is available on the first, and that first falls on a Friday as an example, by that weekend everybody has made a plan to be able to get to be able to access their money. They don't wait for us to come to the cash pay points, which are only serviced later in the month, which starts saying to us, and we're not saying that everybody is able to get to town. But the numbers that are remaining at a cash pay point are really very, very small. And we've got to, in the light of the fiscal constraints that everybody's facing, really balance up what we're able to do to make sure that people can access their money. But I really just wanted to confirm to the committee again that payment has happened. The money is available. It's not a case of the money not being available to the beneficiaries.
Mm. Thank you, Chair.
CEO, anyone else? We're done. Colleagues, honorable member, Konotai. National, oh no, I must not do that. Yes, NDA. Otherwise, my son will fight.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll take some and allow my team to take a few. The first one is on the board appointment of the board.
Are you sick?
Yes.
But what do you want here?
I'm running for
You're
my money.
You're making us cruel.
No, on the first one, the board term expired on the 3rd of January of this financial year, and the board, the new board was appointed and they started on the 1st of April. However, their contract was only for 1 year. We have started the process of submission to escalate for the Office of the Minister to facilitate the recruitment or the extension thereof. So that is in progress. The second one, on the Western Cape, we will follow that up after this meeting in terms of what are the issues with the office itself in terms of capacity and the shortcomings. And on the irregular expenditure, may I, with due respect, take the direction of the directive of the chairperson to say it forms part of the 2 billion that is a collective outcome from Auditor General. And on the issue as well of the consequence measures or corrective measures that has to be instituted, mainly the bulk of it sits with the supply chain that is under finance, and it forms part of the investigation that will report it on the bigger report. However, it's safe to say, since the board time lapse in Jan, the recruitment of the CFO at that time had just closed. So we are awaiting the processes of finalization, which we were anticipating by first of financial year, the new CFO were to assume the portfolio. However, it didn't go as planned. However, we'll explain it and unpack it in terms of the steps that has been undertaken to deal with that. But I need to agree with the outcome of the Auditor General on the entire reporting in terms of this part of corrective measures in the organization, that it's a serious concern, which we had put a plan together to deal with those issues, because it threads through, if I can borrow from Minister's opening remarks, to say the perception and the culture has been it sticks with the accounting officer, accounting authority, but we are walking the process and the journey of making every senior manager or supervisor taking full responsibility of instituting and implementing those corrective measures. Thanks, Chair.
Yep. Here are my few closing remarks. I've already made my points, and the committee has made the points. The committee is not angry with you. The committee doesn't hate you. The committee hates bad work. And all what the committee wants, it wants to dissociate you from the bad work, so that its love for you is not messed up by the bad work. And I think it's easy to do that. Just take the bad work away, keep the good work, and our love stays very strong. I think the minister said very important thing, which Honorable Bungwe repeated. Leadership, bosses. My own experience has taught me that leaders have followers. Bosses have got subordinates. Subordinates are people who comply because they don't have a choice, because there's authority. Followers are inspired by their leaders.
whether their leaders are present or not, they don't want to let them down because they believe in the story of their leaders. And I want to urge you that leaders leave legacies and authorities leave laws and rules. So the driver story is a very fundamental story which should not be undermined. We want leaders in our society, not authorities. The minister is actually, we are very happy that the minister consistently wants the department to account, to deal with the accounting pie. You know the pie of the AG. There's where you plan, where you do, where you check, monitor, where you do whatever, you do whatever, you do whatever. So that assurance provision is corrected. And I like what the minister, honorable member, says. In my department, people must feel free to express their views. Because you cannot work with people who don't know what they are thinking. But people must not pay a price for being honest with their views. Some of us will say, feel free. But fortunately, this one, I've got a track record. I don't remember her saying things she doesn't believe in. And the minister says the issue of monitoring and evaluation is going to be key. When monitoring and evaluation is functioning properly, when it is not a formality, a lot of departments make monitoring and evaluation a mere formality. And you pay the price because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Great managers or DGs, when you put an internal audit, you give them autonomy to do their work and respect their report. Great DGs and great CEOs, when you put an M&E unit, you respect their views. You make use of them. The beneficiary is going to be yourself. Because when the institution is performing well, they don't know those people. They know CEO. You're a smart CEO. Good people, give them space to do their work. Because when your department, when you do one of the CEO zone, they don't know us in the M&E. But all what you owe us in the M&E, give us space to do our work. Make sure that there's people who are deployed, they are skilled people. Listen to them. Because when you make you a CEO or a DG, it's not because you know it all. We're putting you there because we believe you've got leadership skills to facilitate and coordinate all skills required to do your work, not necessarily you. The problem we have, we like control at the expense of the institutional delivery. I can tell you where I've worked. I love people, even those who are more intelligent than me. Because I want work which is more intelligent than me. The only way you can produce work which is more intelligent than you is to surround yourself with intelligent people and allow them to do their work. Set the rules and the framework. It works for you when they say you deliver. You know very well as you sleep at home. It's those experts there, but because it's me on the face. Right? But the problem is, when you surprise them, they're not going to attack those faces. They're going to attack you. So, let's be smart, man. Let's do the basic things. Having said that, with all the powers vested, expecting the action plan of the AG and all other interventions being presented here, and the foster care report, alternate 2 weeks, did you say that? We love you all. The meeting is closed. And I must thank the honorable members for the diligence they demonstrated in interrogating this very important report. Thank you very much.